Welcome to the Purple Political Breakdown. I am glad you're here and I'm glad you're listening to today's podcast episode. My mission in each and every one of these episodes is to really focus on the solutions to some of the biggest questions and most controversial topics going on in our current society. I feel like most of these conversations are not truly being discussed in a more logical and respectful manner due to the political toxicity that goes on with both the left and the right, both the Democrats and the Republicans. In this podcast, I don't care about any of that. I am focused on the solutions. I'm focused on bridging gaps. If you want to join me on this journey, if you want to discuss some of the most important topics, if you are tired of the political toxicity and negativity from both sides, please support this channel, share the podcast, and go to my website, www.purplepoliticalbreakdown.com. I appreciate the support. I'll continue to make content, and hopefully we can start bridging these gaps and focusing on real issues going on in our world. Welcome to this Purple Political Breakdown. How's it going? How's your day been? I am your host, Riddell Lewis. I'm in my casual attire. Shout out Samoan Pride. And today, this is the Purple Political News on a Saturday, talking about the weekly news, the news that happened recently that are important to you and that are important for you to know, with my personal flair and perspective on the facts of the matter. Now, first things first, to kind of lighten you up a little bit, I have recently gotten into the WWE. Yeah, let's talk about WWE a little bit. I'm not going to bore you with the details. But yeah, I got into the WWE recently, and it's official. The Rock versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Hey, man, that's why I got to shout out to Samoan Pride, you know what I'm saying? The Rock versus Roman Reigns. It should be interesting. I'm conflicted for you fellow people who are a fan of the American Nightmare. I am conflicted, but I'm going to wait and see how they kind of play everything out and who should truly be at the head of the table. So I'm here and I'm curious. Next, a little bit more dire news, less exciting news, is that this recent week, a U.S. base was attacked in northeast Jordan. At least three U.S. troops, I think the number went up, and the personnel that went up, I think over 40 that were injured from the attack. And the expectation that, or the expected assailant, was apparently Iranian-backed militias. So this is another thing regarding Iran that is just getting more and more murky. The question on how we should approach this confrontation regarding Iran and the people that they bat, because you can arguably link them to a lot of people that are in conflict right now. You can link them to Hamas, you can link them to the Yemen Houthi rebels, and you can link them to the Jordanian bombing that took place. From what I saw, there was a drone, and the military mistakenly thought it was a U.S. drone, which allowed this to happen in the first place. A little incompetency for sure, and the families, my heart is out to you, of course. This is unfortunate. And the question that I'm going to propose to you who has listened to the podcast is, should we broker peace with Iran? Is a further war with Iran in the best interest of the United States? Yes, Iran is not happy with U.S. intervention and our kind of cooperation with Saudi Arabia. So how would we go about that is something I would have to really mull over for the future, considering all these conflicts that are taking place. Next, I'm going to talk about the Elon Musk situation. So Elon Musk has officially started his first human testing regarding Neuralink. Now, if you don't know what Neuralink is, it's a device that you can put in someone's brain that allows them access to basically using their ability to think to access certain technologies.
Like all those movies you see about someone imagining their phone to send a text message. Well, that could be a reality with Neuralink. Now, technically, Elon Musk wasn't the first person to do human trials. I think there was a year prior there was human trials for this other company. But he's obviously the most famous person. He hasn't revealed any details on how the situation went. He said that the person is in good care. Obviously, he's going to say that. And he hasn't revealed details on who the person is or any details on what's going to happen moving forward. So I'm very curious to see how this plays out. Now, obviously, people are going to be frightened regarding this situation, like technology put in your brain. And technology put in your brain could have maybe worse effects than people can imagine. Or it can be very beneficial to the evolution of humanity. It really depends on the lens and perspective you're coming from when you're looking at this advancement. Because some ideas is that the disabilities and the kind of worst traits of humanity or human, especially after birth, and that they can't really control based off some biological function, could be improved through technology, and this could be a step. Of course, we see things such as, like, you know, certain technology regarding helping you see, certain technology that helps you learn. There's also a pair of AI technology that is replicating the ability of a child to learn language as efficiently as they can and replicate that technology for people that are older to also adapt the language. And, you know, obviously it would be super intricate if all of us across the world can understand each other better in terms of the language barrier. So these type of technologies and advancements are huge, in my opinion, and these type of technologies and advancements can be revolutionary, but I can understand the worry and the pushback on what could happen. The fear mongering is obvious, right? So with that said, I know the fear mongering is calm. Maybe you'll still be angry about this news, but also a little bit interesting news. As y'all know, the next week coming up, we got the Super Bowl. Yes, the NFL. The Super Bowl is taking place where the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers are going up against each other. A lot of people not happy, obviously, because Mahomes is going on a dynastic run where he can potentially threaten Tom Brady as the GOAT of the NFL and one of the greatest athletes in our of all time, not only our generation of all time. And then we have the San Francisco 49ers, the most complete team in the NFL, going to the Super Bowl with a quarterback that is the last pick of the NFL draft. And people don't like Taylor Swift. So it should be very interesting. These were my Super Bowl picks from basically week one. I think, you know, I always have faith in Mr. 1-5, and yes, I won't lie to y'all, I am a Patrick Mahomes fan, so this should be interesting. I got the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, so we'll see kind of how that plays out by the time you listen to it. Maybe you're listening after the Super Bowl, and I am dead wrong. Hopefully I'm not. Moving forward, let's talk about some other news. Gaza and the Hamas situation. Now, there is a ceasefire plan taking place by Israel to get more hostages from Hamas. Now, it's actually a three-step plan. Its first phase would consist of a pause in fighting and the release of elderly, civilian women and children hostages, which was said by a source briefed on the Paris talks, and a second source with in-depth knowledge of the talks and their results. Major deliveries of food and medicine to Gaza facing a ruinous humanitarian crisis would resume, according to both sources. And the second phase would see the releases of female Israeli soldiers and another increase in aid deliveries and restoration of utility services to Gaza. And the third phase would see the release of the bodies of deceased Israeli troops in exchange for Palestinian prisoners freed. Now you may be arguing, okay, what about the Israeli men? Well, from what I saw is that Israel believes that they need some leverage, so keeping the Israeli men soldiers makes the most sense considering the situation, right? So this is a three-step plan that Israel's working on to get more and more hostages freed from Hamas, and we will have to see what takes place next. They're also trying to put in place for Israel that they don't necessarily want to end the conflict after the ceasefire. They just want to free civilians And then afterwards, who knows what happened. So I'm very curious to see what happens. We don't want innocent civilians getting harmed from this conflict. And there's actually another part about this in terms of the end that I think some of y'all would be interested in. So the U.S. State Department is reviewing policy options on possible recognition of a Palestinian state. That's huge. This is huge news, especially considering how the U.S. obviously has kind of treated Palestine. They haven't recognized Palestine as a state and never seemed close to it at that point, especially when this conflict started. Now, the U.S., obviously allied with Israel, obviously helping Israel, is realizing that this conflict is not good for anybody to an extent. So they're looking at some options. They're potentially, they could talk to other countries around Palestine or around Israel and Palestine and go like, all right, would you all consider recognizing Palestine as a state? They could potentially themselves kind of give their own stamp of approval regarding Palestine as a state. I think something key that's going to have to happen, however, when it comes down to the situation, and honestly, international affairs is not something that I'm the most expert in because I usually focus on domestic issues, but these issues are so important in terms of current political discourse that I pay attention, right? The thing that will have to take place regarding Palestine being recognized as a state is also not being a threat. I think that's the biggest thing, becoming a peaceful nation. And another big part of it is what land not only is Palestine willing to accept, but Israel is willing to give up. And this is going to be very important to kind of figure out. And the two-state solution is something that has been argued for a very long time. A lot of people generally believe that a two-state solution is in the best interest. From what Hamas and the Palestinians have been saying recently, they are not interested in a one-state solution. And from a lot of the radical right-wing Israelis, they're not interested in a two-state solution. So a lot of this is concerning. But if the U.S. makes an effort, if the countries around them make an effort, and they really talk to the ones that are in head with Netanyahu and the majority of the Israeli government, and finally either Hamas or the Palestinian people finally recognize, okay, we're tired of this. Maybe it can happen. After this conflict where Hamas obviously will not win, maybe they finally recognize that two-state solution and we kind of compromise. So we'll kind of have to see what happens regarding that situation, of course. Next is Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky reportedly sought to dismiss his popular top general, Valery Zaluzhny, I don't know if I pronounced that correctly, after the general refused the president's request Monday to step down voluntarily, reports indicate. So, a little dismay because this general is extremely popular. He's like the most popular leader basically in Ukraine, and now there's some dismay between Zelensky and him. This Ukraine-Russia situation as of right now, I think most of us understand that Ukraine has to be willing to let go certain things to Russia. I forget the specific names of the territory. I think Crimea is one of them, but they have to let that go. And some criticism has been kind of attached to Biden in the U.S. state saying that, hey, Zelensky, this is all you're getting. End the war. Move on. You won't join NATO, but we at the very least, if you're in trouble, we can help. That seems like the most likely outcome. This drawn out battle at this point is not really favoring anybody, to be honest, and this is even worse for Ukraine losing the support of, or basically having a drift between the president and the most popular official in Ukraine as of right now, the most popular leader. So I'm curious to what take place. Another thing that took place is the Universal Music Group, UMG, the world's largest music company representing artists including Taylor Swift, Drake, Adele, BTS, has announced it will no longer license music to social media or social video platform TikTok. Y'all got the UMG strikes, of course, on YouTube if you create YouTube content. But this is huge for TikTok, to be honest, to lose stars like Taylor Swift and Drake, because one thing that TikTok has kind of grown. Obviously, it started out as Musical.ly, but TikTok has grown in terms of popularity because of its ability to utilize music to create content. Now, a lot of stars were made through TikTok without the big songs being in the forefront, to be completely honest. Like the song with not Billie Eilish, you know what I'm saying? That blew up because of TikTok, and that was huge. Another one would be like, I can't think of one right now, but you get the drift. Obviously, little Uzi's song, but y'all get the case. I'm not gonna name a bunch of artists on the top of my head. So they are able to create stars and create viral music moments with stars that are not nearly as popular as the ones I named. So this honestly may not be as big of a loss that people imagine for TikTok in the long run. And this actually opens up a lot of opportunity for other artists to get their music in place of these bigger artists. So we'll kind of have to see what happens moving forward regarding that, of course. But the only potential downside is certain content can't be made when certain artists are playing their music due to copyright. So we'll see how that takes place. Speaking of TikTok, CEOs of Meta, TikTok, X, Snap, and Discord testify before Senate Judiciary Committee on Child Exploitation. I'm actually going to do a full breakdown YouTube video, and will I talk about it on my podcast? I'm not sure. I might touch upon it on my podcast. This seems more like a YouTube video thing, to be honest, but I might touch upon it on my podcast. But at the very least, subscribe to the Purple Political Breakdown if you guys want to see the video. And I'm going to talk about everything that I saw. Obviously, clips are going around with one senator that is basically trying to get the TikTok CEO to admit that he's related to China. I think that's very lazy, honestly, to be honest. He keeps on saying he's from Singapore. I get the worry of China. I get thinking China is a threat, but what is the point of the questioning? You're just trying to ruin his credibility by finding links to his race. That's lazy. And that's ridiculous, to be honest. It's absolutely ridiculous and makes you seem incompetent. And that's what he's seen from the clips because of the trail of questioning. Now, let's be very clear. There is valid reason for United States to be worried about TikTok. Don't be ignorant, because TikTok is not a company that is controlled by the United States of America. So we don't really control, or we don't have the ability to ensure that if things go wrong, we can take action. Now, that may sound weird to some of you, but if a social media platform is doing something that is against U.S. interests, then the U.S. government will be involved. As of right now, it's a lot of hypotheticals, a lot of hyperbole as of right now in terms of China's involvement and what it's doing for the United States kind of youth. That's more probably in due part to how our current society or parents are doing right now. But at the very least, having the ability to take action if Meta or X or Snapchat or Discord are going too far. I mean, we've seen it quite frankly regarding the Meta stuff regarding Russia involvement. The only way we were able to really get involved with that is because Facebook is in the United States, right? Where people were criticizing certain things that's going on with Russia and Facebook or Meta or whatever. So, yeah, I think it's a legitimate worry. And I'm going to watch the full jury Senate committee to see if what they were asking and seeing what was said matter or make sense. Because a lot of bluff, a lot of filler, a lot of just yapping happens all the time in these committees. So it's quite hilarious, I'll be honest. Next we got is the European Union plans to launch a naval mission in the Red Sea within 3 weeks to help defend cargo ships against attacks by Houthi rebels in Yemen that are hampering trade and driving up prices. The bloc's top diplomat said Wednesday. And honestly, a lot of countries are here that is in favor with getting the Houthi rebels out of here. Like, if you were defending Yemen and the Houthi rebels, you are actually just delusional and you hate America. So that doesn't, I don't really know what else to say. There's nothing warranted about the Houthi rebels and what they're doing. They are ruining international trade. That's going to piss off everybody in basically every like powerful country in the world. So that's ridiculous. And the last thing is the former international or internal revenue service contractor who leaked the tax records of former President Donald Trump to the New York Times, as well as the tax record of billionaires like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk to ProPublica, was sentenced Monday to 5 years in prison. I get wanting to basically tell or showing the public potential corruption, I guess, in terms of like the billionaires, but you can't lose the integrity of your job to do it unless they're doing something outright illegal. Do the tax records prove anything? I mean, we've known for years that the rich have done so many things in terms of tax loopholes. Like, that is really not a surprise. It really isn't. But to the extent where it's outright crazy and illegal is a question mark. I think people are a little misguided in terms of how taxes work. I think people think that the rich are not taxed enough, but in reality, most of the taxes is by far done by the rich. Like, they put way more money than you can imagine into our economy compared to the middle class and the lower class. Like, it's not even a question. So people are a little misguided in how this really works. The rich actually gets taxed a lot. And I think there's a better argument that the rich should be taxed less. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but the reason why I say that is because we need to start incentivizing them to stop doing these dumb loopholes, right? If they know these loopholes exist and you are taxing them, because just imagine this, you're taxing someone that made $1 million and the taxes is like maybe 10%. They're losing $100,000. Doesn't that sound a little bit crazy to you? Like, that's like a $1,000 paycheck and you're losing like $100. You'd be kind of pissed, right? Like, bro, where's this $100 going to? It's not going to. So you can understand why people who are very rich will be pissed. Now, do they deserve to kind of get taxed more than lower class and middle class? I think arguably you can make that distinction. But lowering their percentage is a valid argument to incentivize all these loopholes to stop. Right. So that's just my thoughts in regards to it. Because these loopholes is not really benefiting anybody in America, you know, putting all your companies across the ocean to other countries and, you know, not being taxed there, going to certain states where you're not taxed, doing certain charity events that are literally the only reason why you're doing those charity events because you get a tax break. Like, we know all these loopholes, right? So it's not a surprise. So that's all I got to say regarding that. That is all we got for today for Purple Political News. I hope you guys enjoyed. We are finally back on track with consistent uploading. Y'all have a good one. Rate this podcast 5 stars. It will really help the podcast grow and keep the motto that we are trying to tell and get people all on board. Political solutions without political bias. Let me know who you guys think is going to win between the Chiefs and the 49ers. If it's not the Super Bowl already, like and subscribe to the YouTube channel and follow all the socials. Y'all have a good one. Take care and peace.